This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Conrad Black, my good colleague, distinguished biographer, writing for the National Post, his column about an event that took place at the Royal York Hotel. Conrad tells me it's very large, downtown Toronto, between two statesmen of Canada, Jean Chrétien, former premier, and Stephen Harper, former premier, turning on the subject of national unity. Wonderful, inspirational, but at the same time, in your column, Conrad, you mention Alberta twice. Once because former Prime Minister Chrétien speaks of it. He speaks happily of it. And another because Stephen Harper is from Alberta. To acquaint the audience that is not following the story, Alberta is resource rich. And the question has been raised by Alberta politicians and players that the resources are not being adequately treated by the central government in Ottawa. There's also talk about how we send more money than we get help. But in general, there's reason to believe that Alberta is unhappy. What do the former prime ministers make of the unhappiness, and do they have a remedy for national unity? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, as you say, Jean Chrétien, who was the prime minister from, I think, 1993 to 2003, and Stephen Harper from, I think, 2006 to 2015, one from Quebec, which has had its separatist problems, and one from Alberta, which is fractious at the moment because it feels, with some reason, it's being prevented from profiting as much as it should from its oil and gas industry. There's great demand in the world for it, but for environmental reasons, the government formerly of Justin Trudeau, and we're waiting to see the position taken by the new Prime Minister Carney, have been skeptical about building pipelines. So these are quite key issues, and obviously Chrétien speaks knowledgeably about Quebec and Stephen Harper about Alberta. And Stephen Harper did say that if the new government is not reasonably obliging in building pipelines to permit Alberta and the country generally to profit as they should from this great oil and gas industry, as he put it, there will be serious problems. He didn't go farther than that, and I thought it was a very good way of putting it. Chrétien, speaking more for Quebec, was, which he's certainly well qualified to do, he gave the impression that he thought the independence problem in Quebec had substantially subsided. That may be right. I don't know, but I certainly agree with the Harper analysis that if Alberta does not get more cooperation from the federal government, it's going to become quite vocally discontented.
The inspiration here is that you can manage a Canada with independent-minded citizens. You mentioned Quebec. I believe that there's been an independence there for as long as there's been a Quebec from the beginning.
Yeah. And well, it's an 80% French-speaking area, you see.
But that is part of the national character of Canada. We all came from different parts of the world, and we have different ideas about how we should govern ourselves, but we're unified. Is that correct? The unity is there despite the differences.
Yeah, the unity gets strained at times, but look, the fact is now, in all the countries of the world with a population of 20 million or more, Canada's political institutions are more durable than any other except Great Britain and the United States. I mean, Canada was set up under its present basis as an independent confederation in 1867. At that time, Napoleon III was the Emperor of France. And 3 years later, you got the Third Republic. Now they're on the Fifth Republic. When Canada was founded, Germany was not unified. Italy was not unified. So it's a comparatively durable system, and it has worked quite well, but like all systems, it has fluctuations.
So what I want to understand then is this sense of national unity today. Are they debating it because it's implicit, or are there questions being raised about it from east to west?
Not east to west. I think there are the two areas that I mentioned, and particularly Alberta feels that it's been unfairly treated. Right. We have in this country what are called equalization payments, where money from the most prosperous per capita provinces, a certain amount of it, is transferred to ensure that the less prosperous per capita provinces have a level of services that's equivalent to the more prosperous ones. And Alberta has been very generous in that and relatively uncomplaining about it. And it feels that it now wants pipelines built east and west to take advantage of its oil and gas, which the world wants. There's demand for it. And it has been prevented from doing that for the last 10 years. So we are waiting to see what the new prime minister, but still running the old Liberal Party, what changes, if any, he makes to that policy. Apart from that, I think the state of national unity is quite good.
It comes down to the blessing of resources that are rich everywhere in Canada, to my reading, especially
right.
in the part of Canada that's opening up now because of the retreat of Arctic conditions. At the same time, we have a prime minister who has made his mark as a banker, because he has green on the mind for Canada. Is that still true, or was that campaign talk, and he's become more
practical? Well, we're all waiting to see it. He will be producing his budget and his financial plan for the country this coming Tuesday, and literally 5 days from now. So at that point, he will give us an indication of where he wants to go. If he is much more flexible than he has been prior to becoming prime minister on these ecological questions and climate change questions, then I think it'll be positive, and we'll drive on from there. But if he digs his heels in and says, no, we can't have pipelines, they're a menace to the environment, and we have to do away with fossil fuel, then as Stephen Harper said last week, there will be serious problems.
Stephen Harper, former prime minister, is from Alberta. What is his sense of Alberta's impatience? Have they reached the limit?
Well, if they don't get anything, yes. I mean, if they're just stonewalled completely, he assumes the government will have the intelligence not to do that. And so it'll be some kind of a compromise. And Canada historically is pretty good at producing internal compromises to balance the different interests. It's as you've said, and as we've discussed many times, we have over 40 million people here, but 90% of them live within 200 miles of the U.S. border. So it's not a country that's deep in population. It's a ribbon of people from Atlantic to Pacific, you're saying, along the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence River, and then out across the prairies and to the Pacific coast. But as you said, we're exploiting the northern resources more and more, and in general, the weather there is getting a little less forbidding. But it's a brilliant future, but we have to get there as we go along, and it has required a reasonable amount of flexibility from the different regions, and we just want to make sure that we still possess that ability.
Canada, on the eve of the budget of the new Prime Minister Mark Carney, Conrad Black writing his column for the National Post about a conversation between two senior figures for the whole of Canada. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.